This is Julio Rodriguez, and this is the Lookout Landing Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to the Lookout Landing Podcast. My name is John Troop, and I am the Deputy Managing Editor at Lookout Landing. And today I am joined by a couple folks who, if you are paying attention on the internet and enjoy baseball, enjoy the fun, you'll have a pretty good sense. As usual, I have Matthew Robertson. Matthew, staff writer, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good, John. I was asleep until like 10 minutes ago, and then I put on some 2 Chainz to get excited, and now I'm ready. Have you heard this new 2 Chainz album?
I have not heard the new 2 Chainz album. Okay. How new are we talking with
like,
this 2 Chainz album?
Like this week. It's called Rap or Go to the League, implying that like those were 2 Chainz's 2 options for making money. Like he would either be a rapper or go to the NBA. And I was just thinking about that like in the context of us. Like John, a former D3 pitcher, it was like blog or go to the league.
Yeah.
And then like me, a guy who spent a lot of my teenage years just like drinking Four Loko, is probably like blog or go to prison. So we're like not in the same world as 2 Chainz at all. Also, the album is executive produced by LeBron James, up and coming music producer.
Sure, so why not?
It's a wild ride. There's a part where 2 Chainz complains about having to pay a lot of taxes because he's so rich now. It's great. He like complains, then he's like, "Yeah, but I still paid him." to make sure he's still law abiding.
Avoiding the Wesley Snipes scenario. Right. That is still like the most famous tax evasion person, but I assume there have to have been some more.
They go wild in like European soccer players hate paying taxes as well.
Oh yeah, that's true. I'm curious to hear what our other guest or our guest today, Jordan Schusterman, Jordan of half of Cespedes BBQ. Jordan, what would your 2 breakdowns be, and what league would you be making here?
Well, this is a great question. And first of all, Matthew, 2 Chainz is, I have not listened to the new album yet, although I will be on my flight home tomorrow for sure. Mostly thanks to this wonderful introduction. Luckily for me, I blogged and went to the league.
That's a great point.
I blog for Major League Baseball. So I somehow managed to finagle my way into both. But in terms of, I think 2 Chainz, I mean, that's a serious dilemma. I mean, I'm glad that he kind of found his path. And that
he's asking the hard questions.
Yeah. And if you can, you know. And being executive produced by LeBron, I mean, who knows what that entails, but it seems like it's more of a positive than a negative, I would say.
Feels like the non-executive producers maybe did a lot of work on this one.
Yeah.
It feels like if you're an actual music producer, you'd be kind of pissed, right? Like, why? Like, you got a non-music guy to help you with your album when, like, lots of people who are probably able to do it were just sitting around.
Well, to be clear, this is just like in sports, in baseball especially, you have a lot of special advisors, special assistants, mm-hmm. who are very famous and everybody knows who they are, and they get That's to like, be like, oh, he's, you know, so we just got Jorge Posada, special advisor now.
Suzuki, executive produced the 2018 Mariners.
There you go. And of course, there are many, many other smart people behind the scenes that are maybe doing a little bit more work on that project, but ultimately, it is Ichiro's to claim.
So, somehow back in the booth now, looking, oof, real... Looking like maybe executive producing was a better fit for him, perhaps, as much as I want to see all of the Ichiro. So we're going to get into spring training a little bit, because for as much as we've been podcasting, we haven't talked actually too much about spring training. But first, the news of the day is, of course, that the Mariners commercials dropped, and Matthew had a write-up for us on Lookout Landing, which you should go and read and pause this and then come back. But we sort of determined, I think we're, I want to know if we're all in agreement about the best of the commercials and sort of where we stand on the four, because there was definitely some tiers definitely some levels of quality in the commercials today.
Mm. I agree with that. I agree with that. So it sounds like you feel like there's a pretty obvious just kind of ranking that you see kind of stands out.
Matthew,
I would definitely.
There's a front runner.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I also feel like you can tell how much effort went into each one. Like some of them felt a little lazy to me, and other ones had more creativity for sure.
Okay, so then John, I guess I'll let you present what you believe is the correct order, and then we'll see how easily we agree with you. I think we probably will, but
we should also point out we're recording this on Wednesday, the day that the commercials came out.
Yeah, yes. Emotions are running high. Maybe with the benefit of hindsight, we'll have a more level-headed appraisal. I think by a pretty dramatic margin, the Crafty Lefties was the best one. It's the one that elicited like an actual out loud guffaw from me sitting at home watching it. And also had, I think, the best screenshot of Wade LeBlanc looking completely trashed as he points at Yusei Kikuchi, who has ostensibly crafted a working model of Safeco Field. Just across the board. I mean, just like every line is delivered perfectly. Kikuchi is just very crafty, and Felix is. It had like a moment where I had like sort of some bad feelings in my heart of Felix walking in and feeling left out, but they turned quick. They pivoted quickly to just say, you know, it was lefties that they played on the edge a little bit there with Felix being on the fringes, but I think they pulled that one off.
Yeah, I think that's the clear winner too. I was worried because I watched them like in the order that they were presented on the team website, and that was the lefties one was like the last of the four, and I was sitting there thinking like, oh, we haven't seen Felix yet, who's like, you know, the biggest star the team has had this decade probably, and then to see him come in like a bit role was just, and like be a good sport about it was really funny. Like it seemed like if you watch the outtakes too, Felix was like having a good time and like totally okay not being front and center while like the young, or I guess with Wade, like the whatever he is, pitcher gets more of the shine this time around.
He's the Wade LeBlanc pitcher.
Yeah, he's just his own. He's singular presence on the team for sure. He occupies his own space that no one else can even match.
Yeah.
That's the winner.
I agree. I also think that this really completes one of the all-time late career breakouts on and off the field for Wade LeBlanc. I mean, this is a dude who's you know, he's been at 100 teams and now he ends up on the Mariners. What has happened to him on the field is miraculous, and now he's like this hilarious outgoing dude,
lovable goof.
Which maybe he's been all along and we just didn't know because he was never good enough. Like that's very possible, but it seems like he's now found his like perfect clubhouse to be himself in, and it's hilarious. The other thing that makes this one the best is just like there's so many moving parts that are so wonderful. I think the sad batter is outstanding and very overlooked. I think obviously the Safeco / gotta start transitioning guys, T-Mobile Park, although I guess depends on when this commercial was shot.
That's a great point.
I love that. I love, you know, I love Marco. I love the, you know, the picture of Jamie Moyer on the wall. I think Felix was great. There's just so many, and just when Kikuchi clicks the button for the roof, I was like, this is top notch.
Real quick on that, have you found a like pleasant shorthand for T-Mobile Park yet? Because I'm really struggling. Like T-Mo sucks, and like if you play video games online, that's also bad. Like there's just like a lot. Like I don't know. Like the Moeb is bad. Like I don't know what.
Wow.
The T, like there's just, I've not been able to come up with a good shorthand for it.
So
I mean, Safeco didn't need one, but like you can't just call it T-Mobile because like that. I mean, I guess maybe you we will eventually.
Yeah, there are definitely parks like that that are extremely brand names that we do just call them that and we don't even think about it. It takes a long time to get used to. I mean, I haven't thought about it in shorthand terms at all yet. I maintain that as far as new stadium names go, I think we actually ended up in a pretty good spot.
It's true. It could be much worse. Like, guaranteed rate is pretty brutal.
I'm not here to name names, but
we're here to name names, and you can be non-committal, professionally non-committal.
Yeah, I just think that, all things considered, I feel pretty good about where they landed. But no, it is a little tough. Whatever. It's going to take time to adjust. We can't just immediately accept it as what it is.
I've seen some people, just like from a local standpoint, because obviously the stadium is right there next to CenturyLink Field, which people sometimes call the Clink, and T-Mobile has like a lot of pink branding, so I've seen like the Clink and the Pink, which is kind of funny. I don't know if I can see myself being like, yeah, I'm going down to the Pink to watch the Mariners.
But, like, I think so.
Presented together, together it's not that bad, but like, on its own, I don't think anyone's going to call it the Pink.
That would take a long time to really establish as normal.
Yeah.
Some dangerous waters.
I'm going to call it Safeco for like the next 3 years at least until I'm ready.
Yeah, I don't know. Like TMP, it's not the – I don't know. It's hard. You want to have the park in there. Definitely not Mobe. That's not happening. So whatever. We'll give it time. Again, it's going to take some adjustment. We'll call it Safeco. We'll call it T-Mobile, whatever. Like,
that's fair.
It's fine.
So that I would say the second best commercial for me, I think this was, I mean, I know, I believe, unless Matthew has changed his feelings on this, I would say this lines up again. But the Malik Smith commercial, the Malik Smith, Kyle Seager, Speedy Malik, Slow Kyle, that one was fantastic, purely on the strength of the charisma, or the types of charisma, I guess, of Malik Smith and Kyle Seager. I think I remarked this to you, Jordan, but Kyle Seager seemingly growing into his sort of Peyton Manning mode of just very demurely delivering commercials well.
Yes. Yes, I agree. And I think I don't know how many lines he says, but he nails it. And he's obviously been one of the stars in recent commercials for the Mariners. But I just think, and it's great because Kyle, he's literally the last, we obviously talked about Felix. They're the only two guys left from the 40-man that DePoto inherited. The only two. They're the only ones left. And so it's just like, he's been through it all. And now here he is, still being the same lovable, weird, awkward Kyle Seager. And Malik is amazing. I mean, I've been fortunate enough to interview him a few times. He is just incredible. I was so excited when they traded for him the second time. And it can't be overstated how wonderful he is. So I don't need to explain that.
Yeah, that one was such a nice surprise because, like, on paper, you're like, oh, I want, like, if someone were to present that to you, it's like, oh, we have a Malik Smith, Kyle Seager commercial. Like, right. I would have had some questions, but they did it so perfectly. And, like, Kyle Seager, you can tell, is, like, getting good at this. Like, he knows how to act. He definitely has this, like, sly sense of humor. I think when he went with Corey's brother on his Players Weekend jersey, that's when I knew that he was, like, legitimately kind of funny and, like, not just baseball funny. So I think the Peyton Manning comp is pretty spot on. I mean, he's never going to, like, host SNL, but if he wants to do local commercials, like, I'm all for that. Give me more Kyle Seager on TV.
Because I don't think he would – I think that would be have to be what it is, because I don't think Kyle could necessarily handle the, like, show host thing.
Well, he's like, also, like, not – he's not famous. Like, he's not, like, well, people don't know who he is in, like, Arizona, you know?
Hold on. I mean, I'm counting on a pretty big bounce back this year. I think we can see him get back to SNL host levels. If they ban the shift, we might be able to.
That's true.
We might be able to get his batting average.
We're gonna see that WRC Plus.
That's a great point. Is it just Jeter who's ever hosted for baseball players? I think it has to be. I don't know who else would have done it.
I mean, A-Rod seems like he would have, but I don't think he ever has. I mean, I'm sure he wants to because he wants
yeah. I feel like during his playing career, that would have been a bad move for SNL because people kind of hated him. But now yeah. A-Rod could definitely host
A-Rod's
SNL.
A great pick. I mean, he's such a weirdo, but I think he could do it, and I think he probably will do it.
He would like take so much time memorizing his all of his jokes. Like he yeah. it would be like exasperating for the rest of the cast, I feel like, almost.
yeah, I would agree. But okay, so fine. So Kyle Seager, he's not going to be on SNL. Okay, all right, great. All right. But
Lorne Michaels, if you're listening, give Kyle Seager a call.
Yeah, prove us wrong.
Let's give the guy some credit, though. Yeah, I agree. I think he's really settled into this funny role. And sometimes it comes across in like post-game interviews and whatnot. And I agree with the Corey's brother thing. I think that was great. But like, he'll never admit that he's like trying to be funny, because like even with the Corey's brother thing, when people ask him about it, he's just like, oh yeah, like whatever, like I thought it'd be clever. It's like, no dude, like that's really funny, but like he's never gonna be like, oh yeah, like this is good. So I don't know, it's kind of a mix with him, but I very much enjoy watching him in these.
Yeah, I think I wrote in the deck on the article today that he's the greatest thespian of our time, and that's going to be in print forever, so I have to stand by it.
I think that is a statement that will age extremely well.
yeah, so, there's no way it won't, you know?
I think those two commercials were sort of definitively good. And then the next one, the next one was pretty weird in a lot of ways, and it was the Mitch Haniger one with a fan looming over him, and you get a lot of time with Mitch Haniger looking up between a fan's legs, and it's really just like, I'm not going to say it's uncharted territory for Mariners ads, because Mariners ads have had Dan Wilson with a bunch of photos of people's butts. Mm-hmm. We've had the Moose watching porn on a hotel or on a motel TV while Jamie Moyer tries to sleep. So it's not like there was nothing overtly like out of line. It just was a very uncomfortable angle and kind of a weird vibe. What did you guys think about the Mitch and the fan one?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it was just, regardless of like, right, it was just a weird angle, whatever connotations you want, but it was just strange. And like, it was a pretty big ask of Haniger, who, while definitely like the greatest baseball player I've ever seen, mm-hmm. he of course. Is not a guy, he's not the bursty personality. I wouldn't call him as especially like stoic. Like he can be interesting and he can be passionate about what he's talking about, but like, and then would not put him in the acting category. This is obviously uncharted territory for him being in these commercials. Mm-hmm. So it felt like a pretty big ask from an acting perspective, and to have like this other really main character have a lot of lines. I can't think of many other Mariners commercials where there's like a non-Mariners player talking this much.
That's true. That's a good point. Yeah. Like, or not, like not even a Mariners like personality,
not like, a coach like a, right,
like Lou, or like who, they had some like pitching coach.
Oh, well, I had Eric. Well, Eric Wedge was Larry Brandez. So,
oh God, that's
so.
Oh man.
So, but that's the thing though. Is like that's what felt weird about it, is that we were looking at this random person that we don't care about, right?
So, yeah, I have a lot of questions about that guy. Like, who is he, first of all? Like, where did they... Was there an audition? Like, was it someone, like, internally being like, you know, I can call my friend Brad. He's kind of a psycho. He'd be perfect for this. And then they were like, all right, great. And then, like, they broke for lunch and that was it?
Also,
or was it,
also,
like... go ahead.
Also, they're like, all right, we need someone to look crazy, specifically upside down.
Yeah, was there like a head scout who was like, oh, you are good, but your head's gonna look weird upside down, so we can't do you, and they called in the next person, and they're like, oh, you're perfect.
I kept thinking, yeah. Was like, it's like this is a gross scene, like he's on the ground, there's just peanuts everywhere, and like I kept thinking like, this dude's eating peanuts and is like gonna be at some point we're gonna see peanuts just dropping onto like Mitch Haniger's face and like, this is nasty. Like,
yeah.
But I feel like that would have been funnier, like, if they had really run with it. And just, like, in some of the outtakes, Mitch is, like, eating the peanuts, which was kind of funny. Like,
yeah,
I feel like this could have been better, but the dude, the Brad guy, just really turned me off of this commercial. I didn't like it at all, if I'm being perfectly honest. And, like, how did they pitch the idea to the actor? Like, hey, we need you to, like, be, like, objectively weird and creepy around, like, a pretty, you know, like, a superstar baseball player. And, like, is that guy a Mariners fan? Did he, like, know Mitch previously? I have so many questions about that one.
So, who could we put in this commercial that would turn it around for you? Like, if it was a player, would it, like, just standing over him, like, pretending? Like, what do we need to workshop here? Send this one back to the lab. How do we fix that one?
Yeah, that's a tough question. I mean, if they're sticking with this exact same premise of, like, Mitch falling into the stands... It could have been kind of funny to have D as the guy upside down, because in the real clip, like, D Gordon is the first one over there to, like, check on him and try to, like, tell him to throw the ball back into the infield. So that could have been kind of funny. But I think, honestly, my main thing I didn't like about it was just, like, the like, weirdness of the upside down camera angle. Like, I feel like anyone would have looked kind of weird in that one. And they've played around with weird camera angles before. Like, the one where, is it Felix who's, like, painting the corner? And they, like, have, like, the weird zoom that's kind of at an angle.
Yep.
But, yeah, I think it was really, like, they could have been, like, Morgan Freeman in that role, and I still would have been like, oh, this is weird. That might have been even weirder. Like, that would imply that Mitch is, like, dead and he's talking to God or something.
Yeah, right. Well, okay, so I don't really have a fix for it. By the way, if Morgan Freeman was in a Mariners commercial, I think we should really be questioning how ownership is spending their money. but I think, like, I don't really know what the fix is. Like, I do like the basic premise of guy falls into stands and, like, work from there, but I don't know what to do from that, right?
So, like, what if he, like, we sort of don't go full he's dead, but we go, like, knocked himself out for a sec, like, dream sequence,
yeah,
and then it could be, like, D coming in, like, having a chat with him, and then, like, snapping him back into, like, by the way, you should throw that ball in, and then, like, him throwing someone out, which, like, again, I think is not how the rules work, but still.
And,
like,
do we want to make light of people getting knocked out? You know, that's something our sport, well, thankfully, doesn't really have.
That's fair, which is, I think, why we can really just rub it in other sports' face and make fun of it. Mm-hmm. No, I suppose that's a good point.
I think I got it, guys. I figured out how we can punch this one up.
All right, hit us, man.
So the dream sequence—the dream sequence thing is good. I think. I think if Mitch gets knocked out and then it, like, goes to, like, some, like, you know, dream sequence kind of thing, and then he meets the ghosts of right fielders past, and it's like Ichiro and Jay Buhner talking to him, because Jay Buhner had that one in Fenway where he flipped over the fence, you know.
Yep.
So there's, like, kind of that element of, like, oh, I've been here before. Ichiro and Jay Buhner are kind of funny. I mean, Ichiro is, like, really funny. Jay Buhner, you know, people have their opinions on Jay Buhner, but I think that could have been good if they could have gotten, like, some older guys in there and, like, actually had recognizable Mariner faces instead of Brad. Like,
yeah,
that could have been decent, I think.
That's, I think, I think that's a solid idea there.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's fair, right? You throw, like, Mike Karp in there. Like, I mean, you get other recognizable Mariners out there.
Trayvon Robinson.
Right, get other recognizable Mariners like Mike Karp and Trayvon Robinson.
That's when, like you said, like, the, you know, Mariners, great Mariners of yesteryear.
Of yesteryear.
So
next year, we'll see that on TVs across the Northwest.
Right. Yeah. Right. So, but again, like, I mean, I will say, if we're going to end on a positive note on this commercial, I think that the one line that was very well delivered was Mitch, like, saying, gotta go or whatever.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, I also just am glad that, like, Mitch did a commercial, right? So it's like, you know,
yes.
And it's a long-term investment, right? We got to get Mitch, because he's going to be in one next year. So maybe start the bar low and then kind of work from there.
That's true. He did that. And he had the good smile, like, showing the ball. That was good.
Yes.
All right. So, the last one, you can, if you're going to put D. Gordon in a commercial, let D. Gordon do more things.
Interesting. I think
the idea generally of, like, a pit crew, that's a cool idea.
Mm-hmm.
But you're doing D Gordon, you're putting him out there, you're having him run. Everyone knows he's fast. I feel like there's I feel like they could have had some better ideas to work with D, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're essentially just tying one of the most entertaining, funny, charismatic, seemingly good on his thinking on his feet and improvising guys into just saying two lines, basically. But I am curious, you know, who made up the pit crew, you know, how that worked. I did like the finisher where he has the parachute come out, like the sprint training thing. I thought that was funny. I thought there could have been more there. What did you guys think about that one?
Yeah, I hear you. I mostly agree with a lot of that. I also, you mentioned curious about the pit crew. Red Sox playing in Arizona, that was pretty bizarre, but, you know, that's something, that's just a detail that I think they've had other teams involved in Mariners commercials before. Obviously, it's just a bunch of actors in jerseys, but I found that one especially funny. I liked the idea. It did feel like the premise of the pit crew, it felt like so much of the time was used showing the pit crew gags and not D saying something else.
Yeah.
Whereas like the idea, they got the idea across and it's a really good idea, and then it was just like, let D do more, I think. Right. But I like the premise and I think it was funny. I think it looked really good. But yeah, it was like, give him something else to do. I think I agree with that general sentiment.
Yeah, I think visually it was good. The pit crew is a good idea, but it is just sort of like a blah commercial. Like, they could have done it without any dialogue if they wanted to, you know? Like, it wasn't anything that, like, hinged upon D. Gordon, who, as we all know, is, like, very funny, very good on camera. That just seemed to me, like, the most, like, kind of unimaginative one of the bunch.
Well, and they had, like, in the outtakes, they had, like, D dancing with the pit crew, and, like, one of the pit crew dudes, I think, did, like, a backflip. Like,
yeah.
I don't know who these people were, but they were doing just fine.
Exactly.
Like, plenty of entertaining stuff doing.
Yeah, why did they cut that, too? Like, D. Gordon dancing could just be a commercial. So, yeah, I was confused about that as well.
Yeah. But, yeah, I think this was... I always look forward to these, and I think, you know, some notes to take home, but... definitely I like the lefty, the crafty lefty one just offers so much opportunity for rewatchability and looking
for
extra
God.
Things.
It's, for so many, like, it's just like, think about how different these four pitchers are too, in terms of like where they are in their careers, the kinds of pitchers they are, like this like snapshot in time where you have like the end of Felix, the beginning of Kikuchi, this bizarre friendship between Marco Gonzalez and literally Wade LeBlanc. Like, it's wonderful. It's definitely one of the best ones I've seen.
And the outtake scene where they just like go and like each like kiss and touch Jamie, like the golden framed photo of Jamie Moyer. Like, it's fantastic.
It's interesting to me how crafty gets applied to just literally every single left-handed pitcher on Earth. Like, that label
this
gets thrown around
thing.
Too easily.
Yeah, okay, so here's the thing. Okay, so here's who's definitely not a crafty lefty, is Justice Sheffield. Now,
yes,
I assume they were not going to put him in a commercial anyway, because you want to stick to the guys that are, like, 1,000% going to be in the big leagues. But Roenis Elias, you could get him involved. I mean, he you know.
Yeah.
Can't get
a little Zach Ross
in.
Cup, maybe?
Yeah, you're really counting on it a lot. Like, you really count on your fans to be recognizing Zach Ross Cup.
Well, it goes both ways. It's like, oh, here's our new guy, Zach Ross Cup.
that new hotness, Zach Ross Cup.
Get to know him.
It's like Marco's like, oh, like Wade, like that's really cool, and he's like, oh, you say that's really cool, and then like Marco's like, hey, Zach Ross Cup.
Yeah, he has to say his last name.
Right. Yeah, he's got a name tag on. Like, he's wearing his jersey backwards.
Right.
Like,
that actually could have been a whole commercial. Like, I know they weren't going to do it, but, like, just a new guy orientation was something that a lot of people were saying on Twitter. Or, like,
yeah.
If they
have done that each of the last 3 years. Like, the thing
that's true.
Yeah. But the jersey backwards, they could have done like a 90s hip-hop video, like crisscross style, where like they're all wearing their jersey backwards so the fans can actually know who they are.
I like that a lot.
That is so good. And like, but I think that like their level of self-awareness is already, like Jerry is already so open about that to a point that's funny and I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Like, he doesn't need to push it any farther. They don't need to keep going. I mean, I would love that commercial, but like, I'm not expecting them to take it to that level.
What, like, I'm a little surprised you didn't get, like, even, you know, you mentioned Justice, but, like, I was a little surprised they didn't do any, like, young guys thing, just because, like, they have so many. I guess maybe they're waiting for next year and hoping, like,
I think
they actually are there and good.
But I think it would be a little too risky to be diving into the J.P. Crawford, Justice Sheffield, you know, shed long.
That's fair.
Like, just, I mean, obviously I'm optimistic, but it's, you know. I don't know.
I mean, we're basically just biding time until Julio is the star of every one of these commercials. He's going to be so good on camera.
I know.
The executive producer and the performer.
Yeah. Yeah, he'll be executive producing 2 Chainz albums and starring for the Mariners. It'll be great.
On SNL.
And on SNL. And the president.
What can he do?
So let's talk about the baseball itself a little bit, because we're about 2 weeks out now from I guess less than 2 weeks now, or no, it is 2 weeks exactly from opening day, and spring training. I guess I'm curious how you feel about this, Jordan, because we've talked about this a little bit, and I've almost dreaded watching spring training games the last couple of years, even though I've been, I think, more excited about the team, the MLB team's, you know, skill set, just because it's been so many. When you have a bunch of veterans on a team, I feel like you watch spring training games holding your breath.
Yes.
And when you have a bunch of young guys, it's actively exciting. You're rooting, you're hoping to see the sixth inning of games because you want to see. You know, you're not waiting to watch Andrew Romine and Taylor Motter turn double plays. You know,
I know. It's a huge step up.
Yeah. So, like, I mean, you're right now in Florida for Grapefruit League games right now. I imagine you've been to spring training somewhere the last couple years. You've been around probably more young, exciting teams. Are you feeling the same way that it seems like other teams maybe have been around now that the Mariners have young players again?
Oh, absolutely. I think, like, and someone made this point too, like, it's not just that, like, it's more fun for us to watch, like, the players by nature of them being younger, and a lot of these guys, maybe it's their first camp or they're fighting for a spot, like, they care more. And, like, you know they're not just getting their work in because, like, half these dudes are, like, trying to show the team and the fans and themselves, like, what they're actually capable of. And so while we are still, you know, burdened with a certain number of Jay Bruce at-bats and Edwin and, you know, the likes of them, like, I still think overall, like, it's way more guys that that I'm, like, excited to see what happens with them. Whereas, like, the last few years, like, you're holding your breath because you don't want guys to get hurt, and there's nothing that Robinson Cano or Nelson Cruz could do in spring training that would get me excited, because I would be like, yeah, just like stay healthy and then hopefully just be good in the regular season. Like, it was very much a, like, even though the team, like, was pretty good, like, it was a hope to keep it together and to be exactly the best version of themselves. Whereas, like, now it's just more of a long-term thing, but hopefully not too long-term. I mean, all these guys are clearly big league ready, but it's just a much better vibe. And I know that can kind of be cliche, but I feel it watching the games, and I definitely agree watching the ends of the games when there are so many prospects in the games to be excited to watch. It's way, way, way better. And there, right, like I said, there are still some pieces here and there that's a little less exciting, but I've been enjoying it a lot more.
So we got a question, and we were going to talk about this anyway, but we got a question from David Newland at CFanTX. just talking about with a number of prospects and new faces showing out early on in spring training. For example, Shed Long, Kyle Lewis, Jake Fraley, Yusei Kikuchi, etc. Who has been the most pleasant surprise for you through the first couple weeks here? And I put that to you guys. Who have you been most pleasantly surprised by, or just generally even most enjoyed watching
for
so
me,
far?
It's got to be Shed for me. I mean, I didn't know a whole lot about him, and I was actually kind of, like, I don't know. When the trade happened, I was, like, kind of bummed to see Josh Stowers go just because, like,
yeah,
we hadn't even seen him at all. Like, he was drafted literally, like, last summer, and then he was already gone. So I was like, oh, that's, you know, we didn't even really get a chance to, like, see what he was all about. But then, like, from day one, pretty much, when he actually started playing in the Cactus League, I was like, okay, yeah, Shed Long is great. Like, he's... That swing is, like, so wild, and, like, I really don't know if it's going to hold up forever, but from what I've seen so far, like, I don't have any reason yet to be concerned. I know it's spring training, and, like, it doesn't really count, but this is, like, the best competition he's faced yet. At least, like, he's starting some of these games, so he's getting, like,
established. He's actually up right now, as it happens. He's in the Mariners game that is currently happening.
Perfect. That's, if you're listening in like a week from now, like don't try to find the Shed Long at bat that's going on, quote unquote, right
to this,
now.
But don't understand how podcasts work. One, impressive, and two, let us explain. I got a base hit. Nice job.
There we go. So he's hitting what, like 900 in spring training now?
Roughly.
Yeah. So like, I don't know how you couldn't be excited about that. He also has the personality aspects that are fun with like new guys. Like, he's not just like the cliche media type. He actually like is engaging, and like the sunglasses are cool. Everything about Shed Long to this point, I'm a huge fan of. And like I said, I didn't know a whole lot about him, so pleasant surprise is definitely a good way to describe him from my standpoint.
Yeah, well, you mentioned like the feeling of like, oh man, Josh Stowers, like we didn't get to see him. Imagine how Mets fans feel about Kelenic.
That's so true.
Oh, yeah.
But
oh yeah,
I
no, don't. We don't. We are online, Jordan. We do not have to imagine.
That's true. They are hot and heavy in the mentions.
Yeah.
I
you get Edwin. Don't be so sad.
Oh,
you get Edwin Diaz.
God, I know. We can get to the which Mariner on a new team makes us the most sad. That can be a fun conversation once we get past the optimism here. But I love Shed. I've loved Shed for a few years, and this is not to say that I knew about him before he was cool, but I am actually saying that exactly. he's a fascinating prospect. I mean, we are seeing more and more players, like, you know, second basemen who are 5'8", like, actually doing stuff. Obviously, we see it with Altuve, but there's all kinds of other guys coming up where it's like, oh, actually, like, they can hit the ball far. They're not just small dudes. They can't hit at all, and they just play a good second base, and maybe they'll hit an empty 290. Like, Shed is there to do damage, and I was lucky enough to do a video with him in the Fall League, where he went to Reds Fest and won the home run derby, the wiffle ball home run derby. But when he did it, he had a broken hamate, so he had to do. But he wanted to still compete, so he did it one handed, and he won one handed. So like, Shed is just an awesome, awesome dude. And he is, and so when he ended up in this trade, and DePoto has talked about how he like literally wiggled his way into this trade in the first place. I mean, I was overjoyed because like, I was putting all these tweets out like, oh God, Shed, another player I like going to the Yankees. Like, this is a huge bummer. And then suddenly he was on the Mariners, and I was like, oh my God, this is the greatest thing ever. So. But I will say, based on his performance, I have also been surprised at how good he's been this quickly. And that's been so much fun to watch. And it's also crazy to think that they said it from the jump, they're going to move him around. And, he literally hasn't played a single game at pro game at third. And he has already, I think he's playing there tonight. And he's been there, been all over the place. I know it sounds like his time in the outfield has not really been particularly successful thus far, but there's still time. There's really no reason to rush him, but it has been very, very fun watching him so far. And for me, in terms of guys that have actually surprised me, I mean, I don't know. Sheffield's looked even better than I thought. He's really been, and he's a dude that pitches with a certain level of confidence that, like, you know it's there, but he's also been really in control to a point that's been pretty spectacular. And Domingo Santana, I mean, wow. That could be one of that could be up there with the Haniger trade in short order, if, because it's like the same thing. Like, I mean, except he had already had a huge season at the big league level, so he had another home run tonight, and I don't know what his ceiling is. I don't really know if it's – I'm not going to get too excited about spring stats, but he certainly has a higher ceiling than Ben Gamel. You can't really dispute that. So
yeah.
I'm definitely excited about Domingo as well.
Yeah, it's cool to have a guy who can hit, like, accidental home runs. Like, some of these balls he's, like, kind of missing, and they still go, like, 400 feet. And, like, Ben Gamel has to try his absolute hardest to hit the ball 400 feet. And I loved Ben Gamel. He was great.
Oh,
but
I know.
Yeah, it was a no-brainer of a trade, it seems like, from the Mariners' perspective.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
And
That move just was, like, when it came through, I was like, wait. Oh, it's Ben Gamel and a pitcher. Oh, man, I wonder which pitcher. I mean, we really can't give up. Now, Noah Zavalas. Noah Zavalas.
Oh, I mean, this is the Ivy League Pitcher of the Year. I don't want you to
it
be
is.
Short.
It is the Ivy League Pitcher of the Year.
You know, we don't want to be shorting Noah there. But I agree. And, like, again, I love Gamel also. But also, like, not that this is a Brewers podcast, what the hell do they need him for?
Yeah.
I don't...
Like,
whatever.
They need pitching very badly. And they need, like, I don't know, like, they have eight... third baseman, second baseman, and like half a shortstop in Arcia. Like, they have Ryan Braun's sort of slowly collapsing body and like the best center field, right field, or like maybe the best center field, right field pair in the league. But like, that was so bizarre. I mean, I guess like you can put Gamel in AAA, but it's like
I assume he'll be a big leaguer. Like the weirder thing is that they should have just traded Santana last year for presumably a lot more instead.
Yeah.
And I think we all saw that once they made those moves that someone was going to get stuck there, and they
And
they traded Broxton too. So
right.
I don't know, but whatever.
Well, like Broxton, at least you could have and say like, okay, he's definitely like a defensive center fielder, can play all three positions. Like, we've seen Ben Gamel play defense, and like I was physically there when I watched Ben Gamel try and play center field in Coors, and man, I don't wish that upon the Brewers. Yeah. Like, Ben Gamel does a lot of things well. Being a traditional fourth outfielder is not really one of them.
Yeah. Also, Eric Thames. So
yeah.
Donna Brewers podcast. Poor Keon Broxton, shipped to the Mets, and now doesn't have a spot either because Brody's doing Brody things. All right. Yeah, anyway,
we are as a team, as a podcast for a team that probably won't be the best to watch this year, we are actively always looking for NL teams to get more involved in. So absolutely fine to be a Brewers podcast if the possibility arises.
Right. Well, especially now that the National League is just all ex-Mariners. Like, I feel like every single team in the National League has at least one guy who's played for the Mariners in the DePoto era. That might actually be like factually true. I was kind of just saying that as hyperbole, but it might be true.
Yeah.
Okay. So the first team I thought of that was not true. Yeah. Okay. The Nats don't have any, but they did have Adam Lind briefly, which was amazing.
That's true.
But I think the Nats are one team that does not fit that. Otherwise, you are definitely correct. And
the Marlins? Do the Marlins have a guy on the big league team?
Do the Marlins? Neil Walker feels like probably would have ended up in Seattle at some point, but no. any of these weird
They've got
relievers?
Neidert, and they've got a couple of the other guys.
Oh,
like
Pablo Lopez.
Guys coming up.
Pablo Lopez.
Oh, yeah, Pablo Lopez. There you go.
All right.
Yeah, I guess he was never a big leaguer, though, with the Mariners.
No.
So. But yeah, they're out
also,
there.
Also, the Nationals do have Luis Sardinas as a minor league, as a non-rostered invitee. So.
Well, legend.
I don't know. I can't imagine he's making the roster, but that's a possibility.
That's a classic, also, like, Coachella jersey in 7 years. If you pull up with the Luis Sardinas Mariners jersey, like, that's Coachella Hall of Fame right there.
Vidal Nuno also.
Oh, there it is. I just saw him pitch in person yesterday and totally forgot about that. So.
I think that also happened to Scott Servais. So that that's okay.
Oh yeah, but they, you're right. They are scattered all across the National League, so it kind of it's almost like it's, these teams are all landmines because it's like, oh, I'll root for them, and then it's like, oh God, it's Vidal Nuno. I can't watch this. And you know, obviously the Dodgers now doubling down with Chris Taylor and Brad Miller, which is really terrifying.
Yeah, that's quite wild.
I do kind of want to get into that conversation that Jordan hinted at about like which former Mariner is going to make you the most sad on their new team.
Can we, let's get into that.
Let's get, because I have struggled with this because obviously if you follow at Cespedes BBQ on Twitter, you know that Mike Zunino is my homeboy, and he is definitely, I don't know, because like I do like the Rays because the Rays are the Mariners. So,
yep.
And not only are the Rays the Mariners because they have all their players, they're also now wearing the same spring training uniforms.
Yes, so, that is so weird to me. They're the exact same team now, jersey-wise.
Yeah, so that also makes it a little more complicated. So Zunino's like the obvious answer, but if I move him out of the category, if I set him aside, I think my answer is Diaz so far. Maybe that's an obvious pick, but what do you guys say?
Well, Edwin's tough because I think every time Edwin I guess I would be... I'm trying to think about it like, would they make me happier or would they make me sadder if they did well?
Mm.
And I think I would be far sadder if Edwin did poorly than if Edwin did well.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, it would be... it was such a transcendent experience to watch Edwin pitch last year and, like, just feel like I was, like, I remember distinctly realizing I was hoping that, like, the Mike Trout, Shohei Ohtani part of the order would be up in the ninth inning so that I could watch Edwin pitch against them.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that's such a dumb thing to think in the ninth inning. But, like, it was that good.
Right.
And so... seeing him at anything less than that would be a bummer, but I think it's also probably going to be the case that he'll be a little bit worse. But
right, that's the thing. That's the other thing about Edwin too. Is like, I totally agree with that sentiment, except like there's also something, and maybe this is like cruel of me, because this is not about Edwin in particular, but more about like him doing it for someone else. But it's like there is something. If you are free to disagree with this. For me, there's something weirdly comforting about knowing that that probably was the best he's ever going to be. Maybe not, but like, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he'll do it again, and it'll be amazing, and I'll be happy for him. But like, it does. I agree that like that's this whole past season was just like this is just the pinnacle of this thing. And if he's like, and maybe he'll be 90% of that, but it won't be 100% of it. And like to know that like we got to see that is pretty cool.
Yeah. The thing that I'm worried about is that, like,
Matthew, what do you think here, Matthew?
Yeah, just from like a media standpoint, I'm kind of worried. Like, if Edwin Diaz blows two saves in a row and then has to deal with the New York media,
mm-hmm.
like that I feel like could go poorly. Not to say that Edwin's like not ready for it or anything, but it's just such a huge transition from Seattle to New York, where there's going to be like mm-hmm. three times the amount of eyes on him. And in a similar vein, I guess James Paxton too, like. He already kind of has those like naturally sad eyes, and if like he's just getting bombarded by reporters telling him how bad he's been, like that's just gonna make like that's gonna break my heart. So those are the two answers for me, Diaz and Paxton. Like I want them to do well because I like truly loved those guys, but at the same time, it's like I don't know if the returns we got for them are like very exciting. So like 1% of me will kind of have that like oh I told you so kind of thing where it's like that was a good move, and I feel vindicated for getting rid of them. Not that I made the trade, obviously.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that. And Paxton especially, and like it's hard to like, right, for the Yankees it's like any fun player going to the Yankees is like a tough thing to adjust to, no matter who team you're rooting for. But like, yeah, Paxton, that was my first thought when that happened, was like, oh God, like, I hope this isn't Sonny Gray. Like, I really hope this isn't Sonny Gray. And I think he's going to be better, and I think he's going to be good. But amen on the sad eyes.
You don't
eyes.
Think they're going to make him throw more shitty sliders?
Luckily, I mean, I guess Paxton sort of throws a slide.
It's more a cutter. Yeah, it's just more a good cutter. One. But yeah. Yeah. I think Pax is probably the answer for me. Like, thinking about it, just, it's so hard. Because, like, the rest of them all, like, went to teams that I have, at minimum, ambivalence towards. Like, I don't have particularly, like, I don't have any real negative feelings towards the Rays. So, like, I'm stoked to see Zunino.
Oh, yeah, like, totally.
I'm stoked to see just, like, I don't know. Like, I don't have passionate feelings about Alex Colome, so, like, he can do whatever he wants for the White Sox.
Yeah.
But, like, it's, you know, like, seeing Gene, even though Gene had pretty weird circumstances, ultimately, that he left with, like, I would like him to be happy, and I would like the Phillies to be good, because that team looks awesome, and it would be really cool to watch that offense click. And sort of same thing with the Mets, and, like, my dad grew up, well, became a Mets fan once the Giants left, and, like, that would be cool, and, like, it will never work for me to be a Yankees fan. Matthew, I know you'd feel differently about the Yankees, though. So I'm curious how it would feel to watch Pax there and watch that whole crew.
Yeah,
like, succeed.
It's an interesting feeling, because I do really want to see James Paxton pitch in the playoffs. And if we're really being honest, I want to see Felix pitch in the playoffs too, just at some point. So, like, I'm kind of rooting for that. And something that I've mentioned in writing, like, on the site and just kind of in conversations with John, is that, like, I don't have the same, like, visceral hatred of the Yankees that a lot of fans have. Part of it, I guess, is just, like, being, you know, this is going to sound like a weird, like, flex, but, like, being young enough to not really remember when the Yankees were, like, absolutely dominant. Like, that team in my lifetime, and I guess kind of our lifetime, we're all about the same age, like, that's the Red Sox. The Red Sox have been truly, like, a force for our entire life.
Very true.
So, like, and just, like, from a personal standpoint, like, culturally, I'm more drawn to the Yankees than I am to the Red Sox. So I don't, like, I would have been way more upset if James Paxton went to Boston this offseason. Mm, that would have been, like,
I was worried for that for Zunino, because I felt like that made so much sense.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Sandy Leon and Swihart.
Yeah.
They had the classic two quarterbacks, no quarterbacks, except they had no quarterbacks, no quarterbacks.
So I was worried about that. But no, I do kind of agree with you about that. So I also am less super down on the Yankees in general, but
because I guess I'd much rather Yankee fans like James Paxton and be nice to him than be mean to him and, like, have, like, a like you said, like a Sonny Gray or Carl Pavano kind of situation where they all just turn on him immediately.
Right.
Are there Carl Pavano stands? Like, do we think there were at one point? Carl
Maybe
Pavano
in Miami. Stands? Was he on the World Series team? Like, did he help them win the World Series? Because that's something, you know.
I think so. I'll be honest. I, like, thought Carl Pavano just sucked for the longest time because I only knew him as the guy who gave up McGuire's record-breaking homer, I think
what?
It was.
No way.
I want to say that's what it was.
He could have. He was a rookie in 98, and he was on the 2003 Marlins that won the World Series, so good call there. But, yeah, I mean, right, we don't want that to happen to James. It would be a shame. And I also say, for Segura, like, I love Segura so much. I think for him it's going to be harder for anyone to really have any strong, because he's going to be so far down the pecking order in Philadelphia in terms of who people are paying attention to, that, like, while he is an awesome player and maybe will be batting leadoff for them, like, it's obviously going to be all about Bryce and Reese and McCutcheon and all these Realmuto. So, like, people aren't even going to be paying attention to him almost regardless of what he's doing. So, whereas, like, Diaz is going to be such a big part of of that team. And that's like, that's right. It's the guys that are going to be talked about the most and being talked about in the context of other teams. It's going to be fascinating.
I agree. I apologize. I will admit I've been a bit distracted in learning that Carl Pavano's nickname was American Idol because he was on the disabled list so often in New York that the New York media started calling him American Idol, IDLE. which is about the meanest thing that I've ever seen.
It's also, like, objectively bad. Like, it doesn't make sense verbally, you know? You have to see it in writing for that to make any sense at all.
Oh, goodness.
What a crazy career for Carl Pagano. Yeah. Because he wins the World Series. He's getting Cy Young votes. Then he gets TJ. Then he's just horrible when he comes back. And then somehow just goes to Minnesota and throws up 7 complete games.
Well, I don't remember that at all. That's crazy.
Also, it was the 70th homer of the season.
There you go. McGuire hit off of Pavano.
Huh. Wow, yeah. I definitely did not think he was that old, but I guess Carl Pavano knows no bounds.
Man.
Oh, is this the same? Sorry, now I'm falling down the Carl Pavano rabbit
hole.
Please
do.
Same high school as Reds pitcher Sal Romano. Everyone knows that. I don't need to.
Of course. And pretty much the same naming sort of mechanic there.
A hotbed for Italian baseball players, clearly.
Yeah, so, but Carl Pavano was never a Mariner, I don't think, which is improbable.
It can't rule it out though. He could come back.
Yeah, still time. He could executive produce for the Mariners. Anyway.
By the way, guys, while we've been recording, the executive producer of the 2 Chainz album passed Michael Jordan on the all-time scoring list.
Wow! Yeah.
So think about it. To be that accomplished in both the music and, you know, basketball sphere is really
a dual threat.
Yeah, it's basically him and Shaq now at this point in terms of the rap. NBA
Which
crossover.
Weird. I had only known about him in his music career. I didn't know he was scoring all these points in basketball.
Yeah. You came to LeBron fandom via 2 Chainz.
Oh, that would be so funny.
I need to meet that person does exist.
Where they're like, who's avid 2 Chainz.
Avid 2 Chainz, no, doesn't like hate sports, avid 2 Chainz. It's like, okay, new 2 Chainz. Oh, who's this producer? Like, I don't recognize this.
Up and comer.
Oh, I really love this album. I'm going to check out more of his work. Oh, what? It says he has more points than Michael Jordan?
Who I also don't know.
Well, yeah, that's fair. That's my room where that breaks down.
That's fair. Oh, man. Before we let you go here, Jordan, because you do have an early morning, We here at LL, I believe, share an enthusiasm with you for one Mariners prospect in particular, perhaps above all of the rest, named Julio Rodriguez.
Mm-hmm.
So I know you guys are based out of New York City. How desperately are you watching those like Frontier Spirit Airlines deals to get down to Charleston, West Virginia?
Oh man.
How excited are you to see Julio this year?
I can tell you that we have already Google mapped the drive, understand it is very far. I didn't even think that there would be some crazy cheap flights, but I realized that actually might be the move. I am extremely excited, and I think we are obviously expecting Kalanick to be on that team too.
Yep.
And the ghost of Josh Stowers, but that's okay.
Yep.
Rip in peace.
I legitimately don't I spend a lot of time looking at the Mariners just sort of whole situation, and I do not know who the third outfielder for that group is going to be, because it was going to be Stowers and that was going to be insane, and I don't know what that's going to be, but they are going to be real overshadowed.
Yeah, no, which is fine. Like, again, I can't remember the last time I was this excited about a specific Mariners minor league team. I really can't. Like, even as some of these top topics, I guess Modesto, you know, had a little bit of flavor last year, but
they had Tyler O'Neill and I guess that was Jackson.
The Jackson team was pretty fun. But
that still pales compared to this.
But luckily for me, being in New York, and I mean, if we have to go to Charleston, we'll go to Charleston. They do come over closer.
Oh yeah,
I think they're in Lakewood at the end of May.
Yep.
Trust me. I am gonna make it happen somehow, some way, somewhere, some weird, strange Sally League ballpark. I will see it, and it will be glorious. But yeah, I mean, you guys have obviously been helping lead the Julio hype train, as I appreciate you guys have done that, and I. It's great. Where do you even begin? Where do you end? Like, he seems like such an awesome kid, such an awesome player. And it's going to be really fun to watch. And like, it's crazy because like, I think what's obviously made him so unique is that like normally these players, and this is, you know, there are a lot of the younger, you know, Latin players that have come over now, like they are on social media. So it's not like we haven't seen them. But like the extent to which Julio is like out there and engaging with fans and engaging with people at such a young age is crazy, because like so often like these young prospects are pretty mysterious and right. like you're only going to hear so much from them, and unless they get put on a big stage. But he's so out there that like it really does feel like we know him so well already.
Yeah.
And that's just been such a treat. And it's also going to make it all the more personal if he struggles, you know? But he's literally 18, so we should all relax and just enjoy it for what it is.
Yeah, it's fun to have these, like, Generation Z prospects who are, like, so online and, like, brand conscious. Like, Kelenic has his own YouTube channel. I don't know if you've dug into that,
I've
Jordan.
Watched all of those, let me tell you.
Yeah.
Can't totally figure out who's doing it.
It's a good question.
I have a lot of
questions. It has to be
questions.
Like his agent, right? Yeah. Like, or something through that.
Yeah.
Because it's too high quality. And I mean, I guess he has the money, but like...
Yeah, he has a G-Wagon. Like a weird, like...
Yeah, no, I can't figure out who's running the show in that regard, but I appreciate that someone is doing it, and he's clearly game. So, yeah, Kelenic is a, whatever, it's a whole other conversation. But yeah, it's I like what you said. Like it's been really it is cool to have these kids that are right, extremely online, and that's obviously gonna come back to bite them in a lot of ways too. But when it's used well, it is very enjoyable. Well,
what I was gonna ask was you guys have done for many years, even before you guys started working for MLB, was you've done a lot of stuff with minor leaguers and. Like, you've seen guys like Soto and Rhys Hoskins and Giolito come up. Like, how, I mean, Matthew mentioned this a little bit with the Gen Z guy, but, like, how does this compare to some of the other guys that you've talked with or that you've interacted with or even, you know, that you guys had on the podcast in terms of, like, young guys who seem to, like, have a astonishingly good sense of the like wide scope of like being a personality in addition to being a baseball player? Like, has there been anyone that has sort of jumped out to you personality wise like that?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, yeah, like you said, like we've been pretty fortunate to get to meet a lot of minor leaguers and you know, before they, I mean, Rhys is such a great example of that, but
yeah.
Like he is a crazy example because like he was such an awesome dude when we met him, but like he was pretty reserved, and now he's this famous guy who's best friends with the most famous baseball player in the world. So it's like, it's extremely bizarre to watch. But he's grown into it since he's kind of arrived in Philly and had some success. But
right,
but there are
which
a lot of
like
guys. I mean,
the way that you would see it, you would think it would normally happen, but you don't always see minor leaguers who like are really with it in the way that Julio at least seems to be.
I think that's totally true, but I think you see like a lot of these younger guys that just like they're like, well, yeah, why I can control my narrative here, and I mean he's at the big league level and he has been now and he's a pretty big deal, but like Bregman is taking it to a new level too.
Yeah,
he is, and I think that's awesome, and I think it goes a long way. But yeah, it's cool. I mean, other minor leaguers that I think you will start to see being very notable in that regard. Taylor Trammell is wonderful.
Ooh, some Reds content.
Reds outfield prospect. We did a video with him in the fall league that it's not out yet, but it's like the best thing we've ever done. So
shout out to new Reds fan, Isabel Manassian.
There you go. There you go.
Committed fully to them as her.
Oh, I, well, my girlfriend's a big Reds fan, so I'm in on the Reds
there
too. So like it's there's someone, and obviously I was in on Shed and Tramiel's awesome. They've got a lot of fun guys, but he's a kind of different category of like he is stupendously normal and cool and not in the way like I'm like not in the sense he's unlike the like Bregman where it's like I want to be cool famous baseball player. Tramiel's like I'm really good at baseball, but like I can just hang out and talk if you want. And I love that. He's awesome. Yeah. And then the real, this is another different category, but I am just telling you guys now that Brent Honeywell will be a very big deal in 2019. Ooh. I am going to leave.
I hope so. It was such a bummer when he got hurt last year.
Yeah, and I've been fortunate enough to become very friendly with him over the last couple of years, and let me just say I'm very, very happy that he will be throwing his first career pitch, likely to Mike Zunino. That's kind of badass, so I'm obviously pretty excited
about
that.
That's pretty
neat. But yeah, oh, and if I had to name one other guy, Jazz Chisholm, the D-backs shortstop.
D-backs, yeah.
From the Bahamas. I mean, the Bahamas baseball scene is blowing up, and it is extremely cool. So, and he's going to be at the forefront of that. He is going to be, the D-backs are in a very weird place as an organization, but like, Jazz is coming, and he is going to be a very big deal. So, those are the guys I'll name. But I'm excited to see all these guys succeed, and I think when we talk about, just a general larger point, is like when we talk about the future of baseball, the next faces of baseball, like, I'm very confident in this next group to be interesting and fun and open and outgoing and like willing to share things. And like when that becomes the norm, like when Francisco Lindor is the norm, like,
yeah,
I think we're going to be in very good hands.
Yeah. Well, the revolution exciting. Will be Instagrammed if Julio is any indication.
Amen, my friend.
Well, thank you very much, Jordan, for coming on. Is there anything specific you? I know you guys are shooting some videos right now. Is there anything we should keep an eye out for on your guys' end, be it Mariners specific or MLB in general?
Yeah, I wish I could. I wish I had some Mariners specific content on the way, right. But hopefully soon. But yeah, so we're down in Florida for just a short little trip. Doing some stuff with the Nats and the Marlins and the Astros. But yeah, you can find all of our work on Cut 4 on MLB.com. That's where all of our writing goes. I wrote a thing about Bryce Harper recently that went up today that was fun, about all the crazy stuff he did before he was even in the big leagues. I'm mostly writing on Cut 4 now, but once the season gets going, we'll be getting out to the Mets and Yankees and talking to a lot of players. So yeah, Cut 4 is where you can find us, at CespedesBBQ. On Twitter, and if you like D3 baseball, we also have a podcast about Division III baseball. So
hell yeah! How are the Lewis and Clark Pioneers shaping?
They suck. Sorry. Yep.
checks out.
No, but I'm not kidding. If you do want to hear me in regular podcast form, you can only hear me about D3 baseball, or when I come on this lovely show.
Wow.
So yeah, but this was a lot of fun. Thank you guys thanks for having me on, and. And we'll see what happens with these Mariners.
Yeah, bud. All right. Until next time, go Mariners. Oh, Kyle Lewis just struck out on a 3-2 pitch to end the game. Had a chance to tie it. All right.
You hate to hear that.
Thank you all for listening. In Kate's absence, I.